Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ax Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Testing 1, 2. Hello? Can anyone hear us?
I hope so. We'll see.
No, the dog is no longer at this address.
No, she's not.
We
miss her.
We gave the dog back to her mama.
Yep.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's been a tough couple of days here, and I don't want to rehash anything that's been going on the news, but I do want to say that our hearts and prayers and thoughts are with those that were affected by the events in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I do want to say is that we're all connected. Actions by one of us affect more than just us. And we're all in this thing together. So that's what I want to say.
Yep.
If you want to argue, there's Facebook, and you can go there and argue. But we need to move forward and go from here. So I just want to take a minute, definitely address it, and then we're going to do our best to entertain and hopefully make you smile a little bit.
Yeah.
And all right, so there's a lot of things in this show tonight, and I'm kind of I have so many things to do, so I want to thank the deputies for kind of walking me off the plank. I was going to walk the plank myself, but anyway. So like I said, you know, we're all in this thing together. We need each other, and so I needed some help. Anyhow, there's a lot of things going on, and I think the first thing I wanted to talk about right off the bat is that Comic-Con happens every year, and this year there were a number of Once Upon a Time events,
mm-hmm.
but next year the Once Upon a Time cast will not be, according to, and we'll get to that in a second, according to what I know,
mm-hmm.
the Once Upon a Time cast will not be at Comic-Con. So, before you make trips, before you set situations and pay money,
right?
I want you to listen to me. There is something called D23, and that is like a Disney Comic-Con.
But it's only Disney.
It's only Disney. So, in 2009, it started. Started by Bob Iger, and it stands for Disney. 23 is when Walt came to Hollywood, 1923.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is really an event, and it showcases items that are on sale, special items, and that kind of a thing. So D23, in effect, is a lot like Comic-Con. Actually, I'm going to geek out just a bit. It's actually more like the Star Wars Celebration. So if you can get an idea, it's kind of a subgroup of a Comic-Con for a specialized section.
Right.
D23 is for Disney. So in 2009, it was their first one. It's at the Anaheim Convention Center, right across the street from, wait for it, Disneyland, Anaheim. And they had a bunch of sessions and things, and stars showed up, John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, Patricia Heaton, Kelsey Grammer, Tim Burton, on and on. And they basically showcase things that are going to happen in the future. For instance, anything new that's going to happen in the Disney park. They would give you some drawings, pictures, paintings, that kind of thing, and give you an idea of what's happening. So there, that's where the Once Upon a Time focus is going to be next year, because it was in 2009 and 2011. So 2 years later is, wait for it, 2013, mm-hmm. which is next year.
Right.
So I really, really, really wanted to focus that, because a lot of Once Upon a Time fans got really excited and said, we're going to go to Comic-Con next year. If you do,
you're going to
miss
see...
the Once Upon a Time.
Right. You're going to see all kinds of stuff, great stuff, just not Once Upon a Time stuff.
So last year, or I'm sorry, 2011, it was August 19th through the 21st.
The question is whether or not they're going to be at Comic-Con, just because we don't know if they'll go to the third season. It has nothing to do with third season. It has to do with the fact that Disney owns ABC. And because of that, the reliable source we have is quite confident that they will not be at Comic-Con, because why would they go to Comic-Con when they can go to D23?
Right.
So that's the reason why. It has nothing to do with third season or not.
Disney really wants to make it special.
Yep.
And so that's why they do that. And so there was a lot of talk in 2011, like, mm-hmm. well, how come Disney kind of forgot Comic-Con? I guess they're never coming back. And that's not true, because this year they did.
Right.
So anyhow.
Because D23 convention seems to happen every other year, not every year. So in the off years, I'm betting they'll go back to Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Just saying, nothing for sure, but that's just a guess, an educated guess based on history.
Yep. So the key is there are two levels of membership for D23, which is a club, okay, in effect. And so the smaller levels, like $35-ish, mm-hmm. is just the membership.
Right.
And then there's $75, which you get a magazine.
Quarterly,
and
I think
really
it's quarterly.
Really a great magazine, yeah. and all that. But I just want to go to the expo. That's all I want to go.
Yeah,
so I don't care
exactly.
about the magazine. That's
exactly.
just me. So anyhow, and also there's other events around the country that they have here and there. And if you have a membership, you can get a little percentage off and that kind of a
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So please, please, please wait before you book trips to San Diego next mm-hmm. year. Hold on.
Which, by the way, I also heard that next year's Comic-Con's already sold out anyway, and tickets are like impossible to get now anyway.
Okay.
They pre-sold. So that's the other thing, is that, you know, you may not even be able to get them anyway. I don't know. But that's, you know, I'm hearing rumors. You hear rumors.
Yeah. And in 2011, they did give a sneak peek mm-hmm. of Once Upon a Time. So I'm just kind of giving you an overview of that. So, okay. So that I've broken hearts all over the world, and there you go. But I want you to be informed as my voice cracks, because I'm just so broken
anyway.
Up about it. Okay, so we're going to do some news. There's some comedy bits I'm going to play. We're going to introduce a new soundtrack review from a friend of mine, Bob Christman, and we're going to be playing that in a little bit. And also, we're going to do some quiz stuff. We have a bio. We've got a pack show. And also, I'm going to do, hopefully if we have time, 10 ways that you can support Once Upon a Time.
Yep.
So
nice.
That's going to be a lot of really cool stuff.
Cool.
So let's go ahead and let's play a comedy bit. Let's do that. And after I broke people's hearts. So I did a lot of funny mixing comedy bits forever and ever and ever. And like four people heard him, maybe five.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, let's see, which one to play? Okay, so I wrote one called Grandma and Johnny. So the concept is that Johnny moves in with his grandmother, which is kind of, it was a little ode to my grandma, because I moved in with her after my grandfather passed away. So it's kind of a funny twist on that experience, you know, grandson living with a grandma and all that. So here is Grandma and Johnny, the inaugural episode, and I do all the voices, so just you can blame me. Here we go.
Welcome to Grandma and Johnny. Johnny's a high-paid sign twirler who moved in with his grandma till he got his life together. That was 12 years ago. Grandma's just old.
Grandma?
Yes, Johnny?
This is a computer.
What did you say, dear?
I said, this is a computer.
What?
This is a computer.
Hello? Hello, Mrs. Budinsky. I'll try to keep it down. I know you live next door. Look, my grandma can't hear me, and sometimes I have to talk loudly. No, no, no. Please, don't call the police again. Mrs. Budinsky. Grandma, wake up.
What? Huh? Where am I? Is this heaven?
No, this isn't heaven, Grandma.
Well, I never thought I'd go to the other place.
This is your grandson, Johnny.
Well, that's just great. We're both in hell now. It's because you had dirty thoughts about the girl next door.
May I help you?
It's the police. We have reports that you're abusing this kindly old lady.
No, tell them I never hurt you, Grandma.
I'm in hell.
All right, you're coming downtown with us.
Grandma.
What? I'm hearing voices again.
All right, let's go.
Goodbye. I love you, Grandma.
I don't answer strange voices.
Tune in next time when Grandma says...
Sarsaparilla.
Okay.
Sarsaparilla.
So that was the comedy bit, the first one. That's my voice is cracking again.
That's because
I have a cold.
You have a bit of a cold.
Bit of a cold. So,
beginnings of a cold. Sorry.
Yep. And I haven't drank any NyQuil yet, so I can't blame anything on anything.
Well, you can't have a NyQuil yet, honey.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd fall asleep in the middle of the podcast.
Yep.
And I don't know how to stop it. I mean, the podcast would just go for, like, all night happen.
Well, anyway, never mind. Okay.
Anywho, hey, and by the way, the chat room's a little censored right now for links and stuff, so.
Okay, I thought I had done that. I thought
Not
I had
so
given
much.
Them, hold on, please. Sorry about that.
The chat room seems to like the idea of it going all night because then we'd hear you snoring. And yes, you would. He snores.
Okay.
Sometimes it's very cute.
Okay, sorry
Sometimes
about that. Sorry.
So,
so Link should be fine now. Apologize. Apologize about that.
Okay.
All right. So big, huge news is filming has begun on season 2. In Steveston and surrounding areas.
Yep.
In Vancouver, BC.
Woohoo.
And if you join us next week, which I hope you will, we'll be speaking to, I tell you, I haven't drank any NyQuil yet. Please join us next week. We will be speaking to two evil regals that made the trek.
Yep.
To Steveston and met a few people. And saw a few things. So
that is true.
They can't talk about everything, but they can talk about a few things.
Yes.
And we'll talk to them about a few things.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
That's awesome.
Hey, by the way, that link you posted earlier, what was that?
That was a Ustream troubleshooting link.
Oh.
That gives information about Chrome.
Okay.
That kind of a thing. There's a little thing that I didn't put. Somebody put something about an ad blocker. I wouldn't give that kind of information because ads are important to people. But someone else put that, not me.
Okay, I see.
So, and also talking about iPhones and iPads and different things that 3G, the connection of the 3G isn't reliable.
That is true.
Sometimes you will hear breaking up and stuttering and all kind of things.
Yes.
Wi-Fi is a better choice, obviously.
Correct.
And the iPhone and iPad, it's not a computer.
Right.
So it's not going to act the same as a computer.
That's very true.
So, all right. Let's see how far we go in this thing. So we have word that Aurora and Mulan have gone to Storybrooke. They have boarded a plane.
Mm-hmm.
They've shaken hands. They are friends. They've made it through the TSA line, and they are now filming in Storybrooke.
They're in Storybrooke, yes. That is true.
So Jamie Chung's tweet was, Sarah Bolger, heading to LAX, get ready. Vancouver, myself, and Jamie Chung are en route. And then that was retweeted by Mr. Adam Horowitz. Hi, Adam. I know he listens all the time when he puts his show together. He has to do that. Anyway, the Jamie Chung was, and I'm just reporting this.
Okay.
Jamie Chung was named Hot Chick of the Day on the Sports Illustrated podcast.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to supply. No.
Oh, okay. Recently.
I will supply a link, and you have to scroll down halfway.
All right.
But, you know, another award for Jamie.
Yay.
All right. So anyhow, Jenny's tweet. But I need a good friend of mine. I need Don Juanito.
You do.
I do. So let's get Don Juanito. Hello, everyone. This is Don Juanito. How are you doing? I seem to have a cold too. All right, I'm going to read Jenny's tweet. I think that's still legal. So I'm going to read the tweet here.
Go ahead.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing? Are you doing okay?
Well.
You've been doing more swipping lately?
I am a sweat swipper.
Sweat swipper. Okay. All right.
I have won awards for my swipping.
Awards even?
Oh, yes. They wanted to.
Swipper of the year?
Yes.
Are you a swipper?
Please. Please, you're making fun.
No, they wanted I to, would never
listen
do that.
To me. They wanted to take me to Vancouver for the curling because part of curling is swipping.
Yes, that is absolutely
they
true.
They needed me.
That is true.
But my hair was too long, and they wanted me to cut it. And I said no. It is like magical, passionate power to me.
Long flowing hair.
Oh yes,
like Fabio flowing hair.
Fabio. I want to read this tweet.
Please do.
Jennifer Goodwin.
Okay.
One of the many lovely ladies on the Once Upon a Time show. So I'm going to read Jenny's tweet. I'm mooned. Florian Halbadel shared a Starbucks with hashtag Barbara Hershey and got soaking stinky wet with Jim Morrison live. Good first day for snow, I'd say.
You know, that does sound like a pretty good first day, although the being wet thing, I don't think I would enjoy that.
All I do, I just read the tweet.
Okay.
That's all I did.
Right.
I must go, all of you. I must leave you now. Big kisses and hugs to all. Even the guys, too. You know, I mean, everybody
like
needs.
European hugs?
Whatever. It's 2012.
I mean, European kisses.
Whatever.
Like on the cheek?
Whatever.
Okay. All right.
It's all good. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I got to go.
Oh,
I got
so
to go.
Soon?
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, well then bye.
All right. He was sweating on my seat.
Gross.
That's weird.
From swipping?
Yeah. He's a sweeper. Okay.
He's okay. A sweet swipper.
So, also this week, we heard about the Emmy nominations.
We did indeed.
Now, I plead with the Evil Regals, please hang on. Hang together. It's going to be all right. We did not hear names we wanted to hear.
True.
In some things.
But let's face facts.
We didn't. So
I'd like to throw this out there because I think this is where they really need to consider going next year for the Emmys. They need to have separate categories for the daytime, you know, our network television and cable, because it's ridiculous when most people don't even watch those cable shows. They don't have the cable to even see them, you know, and then they don't watch them. And then the network shows that people do watch that are really, really good. I'm not just talking about Once Upon a Time. I would love for them to have gotten it. But, I mean, there's a bunch of them. And when they get kind of pushed aside, I think that's, you know, I think that's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry. There was they added a category this year, or maybe it's been there and I just haven't paid attention. Whenever they added it, and I was like, are you really seriously kidding me? They announced on the morning news, you know, best actor, best supporting actor, best actress, lead, you know, best drama, best whatever. And then they announced the best reality TV series and best reality TV host. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really?
They need to break it out. They know
break
they
it
do.
Out,
they
man. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now.
Okay. So now they're I remember somebody tweeted out, so Once Upon a Time won nothing? That is not true. I'm here to tell you, Once Upon a Time did get nominations.
Yes.
They didn't not get nominations. They got three. Okay. So let me tell you what they are after I have a cough drop. All right. So, outstanding costumes for a series. Dun, 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 dun. Once Upon a Time hat trick for Eduardo Castro.
Sweet.
Costume designer extraordinaire.
He is amazing.
What's really interesting about what he does, listen, I am not a style guru. I don't have the... But what's really cool is we have the opportunity to see the costumes at Disney California Adventure. And it was so neat to get up so close to see all the detail.
Oh, yeah.
That was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really incredible. And to see the Evil Queen's cape and the little feathers and all that. You know, and then the detail with Prince Charming's belt and all that. I mean, it was really amazing. So, Eduardo Castro, costume designer, got a nomination along with Monique McRae, the assistant costume designer.
Nice.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, outstanding visual effects for The Stranger.
Yes.
So, Andrew Orloff, Laura Jones, Phil Jones, Jake Bergman, Nathan Matsuda, Dale Fay, Dana Maurer, Kevin Struckman, and Sally Ann Massanimi.
Okay. Sorry. So I can't see what you're reading, so I don't know if you're right or wrong.
I blew it on the last one. Sorry, Sally Ann. Please call in a voicemail and tell me how to pronounce your name.
Yeah, really.
So anyway, but visual effects, fantastic. Yeah. And also outstanding makeup for a miniseries or a movie, non-prosthetic. Yep. Once Upon a Time, Toby Lindela. Where have we heard that name before? Do you remember?
Hmm.
Anyone in the chat room remember where we've heard that name?
No.
We heard the name in the Kaylee interview.
Oh, Kaylee. Yeah. Oh, the guy that she, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he worked for, escapes me. But anyway, X-Files, I think. Anyway.
I think so. I think you're right, actually. I do recall that vaguely. So, yeah.
Also, Sarah Graham, and this was for Dreamy.
Nice.
Which had Team 7.
Yes, it did.
So, Kaylee can kind of take a little bit of
yes
that.
She can oh yep. Absolutely
yep
absolutely
she's awesome job team. Awesome job for sure.
That's awesome.
Yep
And Kaylee Mrs. Kaiser,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was not good what I just did. All my
oh no, please don't do something bad. Are you recording? Please tell
yeah,
me you
I'm
are recording.
Recording. I just
okay
all
good
all my comedy bits are gone. So I have to find them again. That is not good. All right. Okay. So anyway, we'll keep moving forward. So just in case you missed it, we want to kind of catch up on a couple of things. I don't think I mentioned it last time. I may have. I know I did once.
Okay.
Jane Espenson's birthday was on July 14th.
That was last Saturday, which we didn't realize.
Lana Perea's was on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Ehrenberg was on the 18th.
That is correct.
So please, if you haven't wished those wonderful people happy birthday. Please do.
Mm-hmm.
And upcoming birthday, so you can get ready for it. Megan Ory's birthday, according to IMDb.com, is August 20th.
There you go.
Which is a good month.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good month for birthdays, boy. I'm telling you. Okay, so Teen Choice Awards. Once Upon a Time will be there a little bit. A few people, I'm probably guessing. Because Josh is nominated for Choice TV Breakout Star Male. And Lana Parrilla is nominated for Choice TV Villain. And the boos and hisses come.
Right.
Yeah. So, because the villains thing. See. So I would imagine you would probably see Josh, Jenny, and Lana on the red carpet.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And I understand that there is possibly going to be some evil regals out in the edge
outside
waving and
in the crowd
yelling saying hello. So yes, and one more thing I do want to talk about is Mushu is a horse that Jared Gilmore came up with, put together this Save Mushu, because Mushu has a situation with one of his feet and needs some help. And so he's raising some money to get some help for the horse, because if the horse does not get the help he needs, they're going to put the horse down. And it's really a great, really great thing to do, you know, and you know, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about other charity things. Here's the thing. It ties in with what I mentioned before. You know, sometimes people say, well, charity, charity, charity. I'm having tough times right now. I don't have time for charity. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But we're all in this together. And sometimes it's easier if we all chip in to help, then things can get done. But if we don't, then it's kind of relying on somebody to do all or more of it. Okay. So, you know, it's just, it's a mindset change. And that's what I will say about that. So if I don't blow your eardrums out, I will try and play this video.
Hey, my name is Jared Gilmore. I play Henry on the show Once Upon a Time. And this is my buddy, Dylan Hyde. Pop singer.
Hey, what's going on, guys? We're here at the Rocking Horse Ranch, and we're helping out with a cause that actually Jared has put together, and that is to save the horse Mushu.
I was told the world's a ghost town of only dust to explore. But the more I see, the more I learn.
The Rocking Horse Ranch is a horse rescue that not only rescues horses, but rescues people through horse therapy. I've had the privilege of living right up the street from the ranch, and when I heard about Mushu's disease, I knew I had to come down here and help the best I could. The song you guys have been listening to is an early acoustic release of a song called Gotta Love More, and I've dedicated it to the ranch.
We gotta love more. We gotta love more.
I've been coming to this ranch since I was 8 with my twin sister Taylor, and I've known Mushu since he was born. Me and him are really good friends, and he has a very rare disease called cankers in his hoof, and if we don't raise enough money to save him, they'll have to put him down, and he's only 4. He hasn't really gotten a chance to be professionally ridden. As you can see, the foot that is wrapped up is his infected one, just trying to keep it from him from not itching it. He is part Clydesdale, part Gypsy Vanner, and the disease is prone to those two breeds. He loves food. He's only 4, and he's just a little baby.
Inside.
Thanks for watching, and thanks for supporting the cause to help my friend, Mushu.
For more information and to donate, you can visit rockinghorseranch.org. Thank you guys for watching again, and see you later. We gotta love him more. We gotta love
him more. We are more than what we see. Very cool. Very cool. So I was happy to play that for them. Cool. All right. So now I have to find my... So what we're going to do is we're going to play the first review and analysis by a friend of mine, Bob Crispin, who is a podcaster. He hosts the Galaxy Cast, which basically focuses on Star Wars news and information about Star Wars. And I think he covers extra stuff there, too. But part of his show is reviewing different musical cuts from the Star Wars trilogy. Actually, original trilogy and prequel trilogy. And I think he did a great job. And so I emailed him and I said, would you do the same thing for Once Upon a Time? And he said, you know what? I'd be happy to do it. And so he put together the first one, and I'm looking for that feverishly. There it is. So here is the first analysis and review of the orchestral suite. I'll let him tell you. So here we go.
Sweet.
And I need to turn this down just a little bit.
Hey, Once Upon a Time fans, it's Bob Crispin from the Galaxy Cast. I thought I'd take a minute and kind of give you guys an idea of how I'm going to be handling the soundtracks, reviewing the soundtracks for Once Upon a Time. First off, I want to say that I think this show is an amazing show. I'm a big fan. I love all the different innuendos and things that are being put in and out of the show. It's just an awesome show. It's something that drew me in right from the very beginning. And I have to say, as a fan of music, this show is amazing. Mark Isham is an amazing, amazing composer and really has taken ideas from all sorts of different composers. And hopefully as I go through, I'll give you an idea of how he did that. The big thing I think he's drawing upon is music from guys like Wagner and even John Williams. The big thing you're going to hear me talking about a lot is something called the leitmotif. Now, if you're not sure what a leitmotif is, it's giving a character a song. So, for example, and this is the one I know by heart because every time I say it, my students totally get it. Darth Vader, when you see him on the screen in Star Wars, you immediately hear the Darth Vader theme. Da, 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 da. Everybody knows what that is. So when you see Darth Vader, it's kind of the thing that's going on in the back of your head. So a leitmotif is something that musicians put in to represent a character. It started with operas way, way back in the 1700s and 1800s, and it's something that's continued on through movies. TV shows have been starting to kind of glom onto that idea, but I think Mark Isham has taken it even a step further and really has kind of melded the worlds together of classical music and opera and even some pop music and put that all together. And he's done that actually throughout his career. One thing I like about Mark Isham that I connect with on a personal level, he's a trumpet player, and I'm a trumpet player too. And not only that, but we're both Miles Davis fans, so I totally get his trumpet style. So I heard Mark way back when he was a trumpet player, and I listened to him then. So I got really excited when I found out he was doing a soundtrack for Once Upon a Time. So without further ado, I'm going to take a minute right now. We're going to go over the very first song in the soundtrack titled The Orchestral Suite, or the Once Upon a Time Orchestral Suite. And I'm going to go through it kind of minute by minute and give you guys an idea of what it's like or what's going on in my head as I'm analyzing and thinking about these songs. I like the ominous beginning here. You know something's happening, but you're not quite sure what it is. Nice upper tones by the strings throughout this section. And using that low brass to really give that evil, lurking feeling. Then this percussion thing. This is really cool. It's very much like a pop thing mixed together with orchestral stuff. Using the French horns to build up the tension. That's a common thing in classical and opera music. Now that big dramatic theme by French horns. I love dramatic themes by French horns. They just sound great playing them out. And the percussion here really kind of drives the beat home. You kind of feeling something's coming on. You know, this is a great orchestral suite in that it kind of works like an overture, which is the beginning of an opera. there's that eerie thing like something's going to happen again. Great use of what sounds like a harp here. Now, Mark Isham's known for using kind of synthesized voices too, so it might be a synthesized harp here. Or it may be a carillon like they used in Harry Potter. And I get that feeling because you get that electronic feel throughout that harp part. Now that's solidified with the flute voice now. That little theme that's kind of running through. Of course, that was left on like an open-ended chord, and now we get the evil presence in there just a tad. But you know, that melody's still kind of stringing through with the flute. Bringing the xylophone in now to add a little bit to it. Now the strings section add a nice melody here. Gives it a good flow going from the flute to the strings. I just love how we're starting to draw that theme out. Now you know what it is. Da-dee-da. As it's going through. And that theme keeps repeating. We're drawing it out even more now by adding some higher violins, a little bit of viola, some brass underneath, kind of bolster it up a little. Now an instant shift. Low brass, gong, all sorts of cool stuff here. Show you again, ominous, something's gonna happen bad. Okay, so here's like our first leitmotif. It's the Queen's theme, and it fits right in here. And I'm not sure what that is. It sounds like a synthesized ochre or something like that. It just has a really cool feel to it. A little bit of harp thrown in here to keep that eerie feeling. Tube is kind of languorously moving. Long violin chords. Sounds like minor fifths throughout here. Sounds like a synthesized glockenspiel through here. Love this sound here. There's like chains and stuff they threw in. Again, there's that evil lingering. Ooh. Some minor seconds thrown in there, some major sevenths just to kind of add to the evil feel. Now, when I'm talking about minor seconds and major sevenths, I'm referring to the chord. So that's the end of the orchestral suite. Now, I like that beginning, and this is just the beginning of the Once Upon a Time soundtrack. And I thought, you know, Mark Isham left the song on such a great, like, open-ended and beginning. And for an overture to leave it kind of open-ended is kind of odd. Usually when you listen to an overture at the beginning of an opera, beginning of a TV show, or beginning of a movie, it closes things up or it kind of brings it into the first scene. For example, when you listen to Star Wars, there's that overture at the beginning. And you see the credits rolling through, and then you see all the words going by, and then it brings you right into the first scene. With this one, you kind of get the impression that they're leaving it open-ended. You're waiting for something to happen, but you're not quite sure what. So there's my analysis of the very first track on the soundtrack of Once Upon a Time called the Once Upon a Time Orchestral Suite. Love to hear what you have to say. I hope you give Jeff some feedback about what you thought about my kind of interpretation of this. And hopefully I'll get a little more in depth as we go further in. And I hope all of you fans out there are a fan of what I'm doing here. And I'm going to keep working hard to provide you guys some quality entertainment about the music from Once Upon a Time. Thanks a lot for taking the time to listen.
Thanks, Bob, so much. Excellent work. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. So you can go ahead and send your feedback to feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yep.
My goal is to have them all done, and I know he's working hard on the second, third, and on through the soundtrack. And once we have them all out, I want to schedule one each week so that we can kind of fit one in mm-hmm. each time. And then once they're done, I wanted to stitch them all together and I'll release it as one big episode. But really happy with it. I think Bob's really great. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of great, sounds like we have some Hell's Angels outside. So, but
that might be the stormtroopers that Mark was planning to send over.
I know that Bob studies music a lot. He is a music teacher. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get his bio, so I don't want to misspeak, but I know he's a music teacher at school, at his school that he works at. Mm-hmm. And but he's a music file. He knows a lot of stuff. So, like I said, I was really happy that he said yes. And so we will be taking a trip through more and more of the cuts of the soundtrack as yep. time goes on. So we'll see. We may have one next week. We may not, because I know he's got a real life. We've all got real lives. And I don't want to push him, because I really want him to be done just really well. So anyway, send me feedback on his soundtrack review. That would be great. So
yep. Love it, love it, love it.
All right. So we have some voicemails, and I wanted to play them. And now I have to find
the voicemails?
Well, at least
dun,
one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Yep.
This is magical.
It is magical.
So magical.
It is.
It's so magical.
So I think I'll do this.
What? What do you think you'll do?
I think I'll do this.
Oh, and a little bit of that too, maybe?
Wow.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Dave from Michigan. I have been listening to all the shows. I just haven't had a chance to call in quite a while. So I thought I'd call in since I had an opportunity right after listening to your show this time. I have two theories based on what you guys talked about. The first one is there was talk on the show that maybe they're going to bring on Jafar. But a thought occurred to me. What if Sidney Glass is Jafar? Because at the end of Aladdin, Jafar asked to become a genie. And as far as I remember, the genie from Aladdin was a jolly guy. He was happy all the time. He didn't like being in the lamp, but he was always happy. And Jafar, you know, never wanted to be in it. Once he realized he was stuck in it. And Sidney Glass was kind of, you know, he was kind of despondent when he was brought out of the lamp. So maybe he's Jafar. The other thing is based on the idea that Peter Pan is coming and Hook is coming. Do you think that we saw Tinkerbell up in the sky with one of the double series that were fighting at the end of the season? Or do you think that since they are so fond of making our characters more than one person, like they did with the Beast and Rumpelstiltskin and Sidney Glass and the Genie or Jafar, what if Tinkerbell is the Blue Fairy? Just thought I'd throw those out to you and see what you guys think. I can't wait to hear this on the show. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
What do you think? Thanks, Dave.
I think it's an interesting possibility. Very interesting possibility. Now, the more interesting part, though, and this is where it's going to get a little dicey, I think, this next season. Giancarlo Esposito, he's on another show.
Right.
So the odds of him coming back are going to be a little slimmer than they were last season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll do some stuff. I think he'd be great. But, you know, and we've been kind of chatting about in the chat room is that, yeah, Tim Curry would make an amazing mm-hmm. Jafar.
That's true.
He's an awesome, awesome villain. So, you know, I'm sure there's other folks that would be equally great in that part. But yeah, I could totally see where they would, you know, maybe make the case that he could have been Jafar. Because it's true, at the end of Aladdin, he is a genie. Jafar becomes a genie because Aladdin tricks him into begging for that or asking for that as his last wish. So, yeah. Be interesting to see how they cast it, what they'll do.
And as far as Tinkerbell, I think it's an interesting idea based on the fact that we already have one fairy,
yes,
that wants to be human and have human love and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And what if another
decided to make another choice and not be a fairy and then change into this other form like Tinkerbell or something.
Yeah. And so. That's the thing. I mean, we saw in the finale when they were, or not the finale, actually, when the fairies were flying.
Right.
We saw that a number of different colored, you know, pinks, sure. blues. I saw at least one green one.
Yep.
I'm thinking that's probably who Tinkerbell will be, maybe. Possibly. Just because that would fit if they bring Tinkerbell in.
And
because, again, there's you know, there's still the licensing issue. They may or may not have gotten licensing for her. I know that everybody talks about, well, they got Hook. Well, they've talked about getting Hook, and maybe they did somehow get licensing for Hook some way, but they may not have been able to get Peter Pan or Tinkerbell. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
And maybe they got licensing at the end of last season for Hook, and maybe they've acquired the rest. I don't know. I'm not in the production office. I'm not in the legal office.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, for sure we did see a pirate with a hook.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Anyhow, another thing is if somebody has the time and wherewithal and can do it, could you please tweet Keegan, Connor Tracy, and ask her.
Keegalicious?
Yep. If please tweet her and ask her for our podcast, please, if the colors of the fairies mean something.
Oh, yeah. Because maybe they do. Maybe that's just, you know, that's how they identify
each other. What would green mean? What's pink mean? What does blue mean?
Is there a meaning or is it just just how they're, you know, that's how they're born?
Yep.
Because we know how dwarves are born. How about fairies?
Right. Okay. So we have one more voicemail. Yeah, actually, two more. Here is the next one.
Hi, guys. It's Holly Mom. I just wanted to check in with everybody on the podcast and tell them that I miss them and I love them. And unfortunately, where I'm at, internet is not available to me unless it's really, really, really expensive. So hopefully this fall I'll be able to interact with you guys a little bit more. But when I do get to get little pieces of it on the podcast, I send all my love to all the teams and I can't wait for season two. I'm excited for all the things I'm hearing. And hopefully we'll get to share it with all you guys. And I just wanted to send big hugs and let you know that I miss you guys. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much, Holly Mom.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. And it's interesting how in 2012, the internet is kind of more and more important to television shows and connecting to not only podcasts, but if you don't have a signal, maybe you can watch it online, that kind of a thing. So
that's true.
It is interesting how the internet is much more important than we could have really imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, there was a day when everybody had AOL discs coming out of their ears and it was in every magazine everywhere, mailed to your house. But now it's pretty much broadband. You got to have it.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know anyone that has dial-up anymore.
Yeah, I don't know anybody personally. Yeah, I don't think I know anybody who has dial-up. And I remember when that was like amazing. Oh my gosh, you have dial-up? Wow, you are so lucky. We have to go to the internet cafe if we want to get on the internet.
Yeah.
People didn't even know what the internet was, you know, 15 years ago.
True.
Well, more than that, but yeah, anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Cave drawings and then dial-up.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Anyway.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Thank you, broadband internet connection. And Wi-Fi, we really appreciate you.
Okay, for some reason, the way you said that just reminded me of the Cadbury Easter egg commercial where the...
Right.
Thanks, Easter Bunny. Bok, bok. Anyway, sorry. I digress.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
All right, so here is Mr. Wayne Henderson. He has some thoughts for us.
Yay, hey, Wayne. Jeff and Colleen and listeners of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is Wayne Henderson from MediaVoiceOvers.com. And in the past, I used to do a podcast all about the TV show Lost. And previously on that Lost casting with Wayne and Dan podcast, I shared a dream. You know, Martin Luther King had his dream. I have my dream of replacing Frontierland at Disneyland with a Lost Island Land, you know, including underground hatches, smoke monsters, things like that. Well, anyway, since it's been a couple of years since Lost ended and they haven't made way for Lost Island Land at Disneyland just yet, I've got a new and improved idea for you. Come close. Check this. How about a Once Upon a Time Land? I still say that Once Upon a Time Land could replace Frontierland. And before Frontierland purists yell out, blasphemer, hear me out. Disneyland already has the castle, Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, Peter Pan, Cinderella, and all the rest. Now, with a little OUAT updating, it could be the perfect combination of Storybrooke and our favorite new television shows, Fairytale Land. It could have everything we love about Once Upon a Time. Granny's Diner, Mr. Gold's Disney-themed gift shop. You know, you could buy yourself a globe or a Zoso knife or anything like that. And out and about, of course, there will be street sweepers. There's also going to be green smoke, purple smoke, black smoke, never used for Lost Land, okay? Also diamond dust mines. And of course, after sundown, beware. Ruby Watch 2012. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, have your red capes ready for your own protection, okay, and everybody else's. And when we're all together for Jeff and Colleen's Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast meetup this September, don't you agree that would be the perfect time for us and Disneyland to break ground on Once Upon a Time Land at Disneyland?
Amen.
I like the idea.
Yes. So what do you guys think?
I think that's hilarious.
A Once Upon a Time Land
at Disneyland.
Maybe just Storybrooke.
Well, they do have Fantasyland's already there, and it's only half, like he said. It's only half of the picture. If they put in like a Granny's Diner and a Mr. Gold's pawn shop. I love that idea. Yeah. But it'd only work if they actually had Mr. Gold in it.
Yeah. No, those are great ideas though, actually. Really, yeah.
I like it.
So, anybody else have any other ideas? Kind of similar, sort of?
Well, they're talking about the fact that, you know, there's a new Fantasyland at Disney World coming in. They're working on that.
And they're putting the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs mine train ride.
Yes, yes.
So it's not the little...
Scary Adventures.
Yep. It's a little different.
Yeah, so... But yeah, it'd be an interesting place if they could do that.
Well, that's it for the main show. And I want to send big love out to everybody, and including the cast and crew that's listening.
Yep.
Thanks. And I just want to say I appreciate all your support and everything with the show. We do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks again so much, and we'll talk to you next time. See ya.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, and if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.